listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And coming up this weekend, it is Wizard World. If you follow us on Facebook and Instagram, you know that many of us here at WGN Radio are geeks and nerds and dorks. I am a self-avowed dork, and I'm always excited to dress up as some of my favorite characters. And that's the great thing about Wizard World, is that you can go as anything you can imagine, from books and movies, comic books. You can, it's a wonderful time. And the great thing as well is that you get to interact with some of your favorite stars from TV and movies. And joining us on the line is Brian Krause, who, of course, played Leo, the white lighter, on Charmed. Brian, you've done a lot of these, and I have to know, how do you get yourself in the mood for this? And I don't mean that like you come to this dreading it, but you seem to really enjoy being on stage, whether it's with Holly or talking to the audience. What is it about these conventions that keep you going?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I am excited to come to Chicago. I have to say, I think the greatest thing about going and doing cons is fan interaction. For many years, you'd get a fan mail. It was kind of like, you never really got to meet the fans. And what I've learned in the last couple of years doing these is, having that FaceTime, seeing eye to eye, hearing people's stories and what these shows have meant to them. And it touches my heart every time when I, just to feel what they felt and to hear, oh, thank you, I watched your show, and, I was pregnant, or my mom was sick, or whatever. And, the idea that we can give the fans an escape through what we do and what we love is, it's why I got into this. It's beautiful.
You got into acting and into performing because of that sort of idea of make-believe. Is that part of what drew you to acting?
Acting was always a way to constantly make believe and right. To play, and I was always playing and never really studying, so I didn't have many options. Keep playing, you'll be successful.
Well, you're an athlete as well. I know that you played soccer and you surf and have also studied karate. You seem to be somebody who is willing to adapt, whether it's in your career or athletically. What is it that you try to do when whether it's intellectually to keep yourself challenged all the time?
It's a good question. I think as I get older, that's, the big question in life is how do you keep going and staying fresh, emotionally, mentally, physically, from reading to meditating to, trying to reinvent yourself to yourself. I always feel like, so often a lot of us are a product of our past. And our goals that we want to achieve are based off of our own thinking of how we did in our past, as opposed to setting positive reminders and making those daily changes that, anything is possible every single day. And it's getting up and it's doing it. And we only come around life once. And, so I just keep plunging forward and going, I'm not dead yet. Let's try something new.
Well, and that must be the interesting sort of contrast, right, is to continue to challenge yourself. And when you come together for these Comic-Cons is, people have their favorite episodes. And as you mentioned, people will tell you their stories about how you helped them get through maybe a rough time in their life. And I think that part of that is it Charmed. What really, I think, drew people in was that constant battle of good and evil. And, the evil was all there. I mean, whether you might have been able to dispense with some of the lower forms of evil, but you constantly had to keep showing up for those fights. What is it like to keep, going over those stories? I mean, I'll bet you still find new things, because there were 8 seasons of the show.
8 seasons. The fans know the show much better than I do. I'm constantly reminded, oh, you did this. I was like, I did? it's as an actor, it's like once it's in, it's out. Once I dump it, it's done. It's on to the next one. I mean, yes. Certain roles you'll remember a certain scene or some lines, but it's moved on. So a lot of the storyline, they remind me, which is you know, I'm embarrassed to say I should sit down and watch the whole show.
Well, no, but I think that what you bring to it, though, are the things that they didn't see. And I wonder, what were some of the things that surprised you in those 8 years that, you know, the fans might know the storylines, but they certainly don't know what those moments in between were like. Do you have some favorites amongst those?
I think the greatest thing I took away from it was being around Holly and Rose and Alyssa and Shannon and being around such strong, talented women and seeing how they went about life and seeing how they, you know, dealt on a daily basis. And they set a great example of what a good set can be and what a family is. And I definitely made friends for life from that set, not just the actresses, but the crew as well. And, you know, there were so many laughs and great times. And I don't think that would have ever been created had it not been for those girls. So, you know, Holly will remind me sometimes, you know, silly things that happen on the set or whatever, that it was, you know, it felt like high school with your best friends. For 8 years.
And that's where I think a lot of us hope, is that you had fun doing it. Because I've been watching some of the Comic Cons that you've done, and being on stage talking about some of the episodes. You know, people have asked you, you know, what were your favorite sort of villains that turned it, or different characters that you turned into, and when you had to play, you know, a pregnancy, or when Holly turned into a Wendigo. But one of the things that comes up a lot is Coyote Ugly. And that seems to be, if I'm not mistaken, that's one of your favorites.
Well, it's, you know, Holly does a dance, and she's, you know, it's pretty early on in the series, and I think it got her kind of not doing what she normally does, being this vixen on a stage and super sexy, and I think I, you know, say it's my favorite just because it embarrasses her. You know, she's beautiful, and as a girl next door with natural beauty, it's fun to tease her when she gets all dressed up, and she's more of a jeans and boots gal, so, you know, to see her get all sexy, it's like, oh, hey!
Right. Well, she brings a certain, I mean, there is a seriousness to her on the series, and I think that's what was so much fun with the two of you, and with the, you know, with the character that you played as the White Lighter, this healer. Was it something that for you that's sort of interesting in the sense that, obviously, as an actor, you know, people are going to come up to you and sort of believe that you're Leo, and that's got to be hard for you, because you're like, look, I'm Brian Krause, everybody.
Yeah, not an angel. you know, but it was great kind of playing the good guy. You know, I have a son who's grown up. He's 22 now, but during the show he was, you know, pretty young, and it was nice portraying the good moral message, you know, to do the right thing, and you know, looking at life with an innocence and a belief that everything is possible in goodness is, you know, something I try to do every day. And I think we all inherently want to do it, and that's the struggle. You know, and it's nice. I think that's, going back, is what kept the show going, is between good and evil, and knowing that if you have strong family together and friends, that, you know, together, you know, you can overcome anything. It's super powerful.
I agree. I think that's what captivated audiences for 8 years. And I know the series has been rebooted, and we don't need to talk about that, because for millions of fans, it doesn't get any better than the original cast.
Thanks.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. But what you guys brought to it, I mean, not just the battle of good and evil, but the magic wasn't just the powers that everybody had. It was that sense of finding the greatness of life, of love. Don't you think that was a big part of it?
I think that's it entirely. I think that's what, you know, we never attached ourselves to a religion per se, and never really brought it up. And we constantly talked about this power that's within, and it's almost being a Jedi, if you will.
Yes.
But, you know, your power lies within you. To overcome, to make the right choice, to do the right thing, to beat down the evils that are trying to get us. And I think that was the true through line for 8 years, that, you know, together and with strength and with a right moral compass, anything is possible.
Does it make you a little bit you want to share with fans who are like, why don't we see you in more? It's hard to convey to them how difficult this career path is for anybody who wants to be an actor. Because, I mean, it's not like I just get to choose and do things. When you have had a career, it's not like, oh, wow, you know, like I just choose to not do that anymore. It is something that has defined you. And in many ways, I wonder if that moment that you auditioned for this, right? When I've auditioned for a lot of things, and you're like, oh gosh, I hope I get this. What was that moment like for you auditioning? Like, because in every audition, you have to act as though you know, in your back of your mind, it's okay if I don't get this, but in the front of your mind, you're like, I really need this. Didn't you think that way?
I did, and you know, I started young and had a career early with Return of the Blue Lagoon and Sleepwalkers, and then I had a lull, and then I started to come back and did a soap for a little bit, and then we moved back and forth across the country, my wife and I, and, you know, this, I was on another lull, and I was doing construction and driving a pie truck and working at a restaurant, doing whatever I could just to make money, and auditioning a ton, and actually the day I went in for this, I was retrofitting a house that day, and I had to leave and go to this audition, and,
right.
You know, I wasn't going to get paid that day, which is, you know, how do you tell your wife that one, like. So when I went in for the audition to meet Aaron and everybody, he has this big couch, like 50 people on one couch. It's the most nerve-wracking room you've ever been in. And I had met him maybe 4, 5, 6 times. And so my line was, you know, okay, I'm going to remind him it's me. So, hey, Brian, thanks for coming in. This is Mr. Spelling. And I say, oh, Mr. Spelling, how great to see you again.
Ooh.
And he looks up and he goes, oh, hi, Brian, nice to meet you. And I tell you, I wanted to crawl back under that house and go finish my day. I was pissed. I was let down. I was upset. And it changed how I read the scene. I just kind of was like, you know what? Whatever.
Right, right.
You know, and just kind of threw it away really angrily. And, you know, just totally different how I had done it earlier. Boom. They were like, oh, that was great. He's so edgy. He gets the job. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, it was that moment, as soon as I don't care.
Right.
It happens, and it's, you know, and I think that's true with a lot of things we do in life, right?
Right, right.
So often you want something to succeed that you hold on to the result so hard that it's hard to actually just flourish. You know, without doing it without consequence, if you will.
Yeah, you can crush that. You can crush that energy.
And that's kind of what he did in that moment. Is he set me free of that?
Right. You're like,
and,
screw it. This is going to be what it's going to be now.
Yeah, and so I've been trying to have that moment over and over ever since. the old, I don't care.
I know. And you have to know, and I'm sure from all the screams that you get when you show up at Wizard World and other conventions like that, that moment did work out for so many millions of people, and I hope that more comes in your career. I know that you've done movies for Lifetime and working a lot of independent projects. Is there anything else that you want to let us know about besides, of course, being at Wizard World?
Yeah, I finished a show maybe 2 months ago, an independently produced television show called First List, and they're shopping it to Netflix and Amazon, and it's kind of a crime drama. I play a FBI, head of the FBI. It should be really, it's good. We'll see. Hopefully it comes out. I haven't seen anything yet. And then I did another Lifetime called Lost and Found with Marisol Nichols from Riverdale. And that should be out here in the fall. And I just did a project for the CW. I can't say yet, so that's good. Getting back in that network over there. And then I'm working on my own project, which started as a documentary and has turned into a real life based on true events movie with my good friend Mark Ralston. You might know from Shawshank Redemption and Aliens, yada yada. But he's befriended a homeless guy behind his house for the last few years, and it's their story. So I was making a documentary on homelessness in America and trying to really just uncover the root cause and what's been happening in America in the last 10 years, 15, 20 years. And I don't know how it is in Chicago, but in Los Angeles, it's really become an epidemic with tents on Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset and all over. It's there's more people on the streets today than there ever have been ever. And that's what struck us there. And then when we met Michael, and Mark developed his relationship, we developed a story around that. So we raised money through Indiegogo. We shot a pilot. A trailer, and we got some cameras. And now we're pitching our treatment out there for more funding. And we're doing it grassroots. It's not like we need $1 million. It's, you know, $100,000 project. A true story. It's Michael Toscano, a real homeless guy who doesn't beg, doesn't do anything. He works at the church 4 days a week. And he just doesn't want to live in a box. He's kind of the anomaly to, you know, what is happening on the streets with drug and alcohol and people misplaced out of their homes ever since 2008. It's eye-opening.
That's incredible work. And I have been to Los Angeles. And, of course, we do have our own struggles here in Chicago and as well as around the country. I've been to Philadelphia, where it's an epidemic as well. But I really think that's an incredible idea and project that you're developing. And I wish you the very best of luck on that.
Thank you.
Well, I know in Venice, you know, people, they want to live near the beach and they're annoyed because, we don't want to see these blankets and pillows and people's belongings on the street. Well, they have nowhere else to go. You know, that's sort of this contradiction of
there's not enough beds.
No.
You know, it's a shortage of 75% more. There's no real count. You know, it's frustrating. I guess in my documentary, what I was hoping is, you know, like in Australia, they tax the alcohol, they tax the tobacco, and they use all that money for mental health, physical health. It goes right into a system.
Yep.
So it's almost like buying insurance for yourself. And, you know, I've had so many arguments with my conservative friends, libertarian friends, Democratic friends, whatever, party lines don't really matter. People don't want it to be taxed out of their income. And I said, well, then why not tax the damn booze? Like, it makes so much sense to me that to create trillions of dollars. And so that's kind of where I'm pushing towards, is to create a movement that, you know, tax the booze and the pharmaceuticals. I mean, there's more than enough money there to, you know, get out of that tax to pay for, you know, a system where, you know, like Obamacare, like that maybe it's the new Obamacare, not that we want
somebody,
Trump care or whatever that might be or look like.
Right. We need somebody care. That's all we need right now, because
we need somebody care. And until we as a nation step up and say, no longer do I allow my brother, my sister, my cousin to live in a park, to live without, you know, I think we all need that as a collective. And, you know, we force our congressmen and our senators to change the law, to put a tax, to put the levy. And to me, it's simple. Obviously, it's bigger than that to figure it out, but it's a good start.
And you're right, though. Absolutely. And you're right, though, because mental health is one of those things that always seems to me to be on the chopping block first. And I never have understood that.
None of it makes sense. Mental health, I mean, you know, I was talking to a good friend, and he was like, well, the veterans need help. They have PTSD. And I said, obviously they do. Obviously. I mean, who's arguing that? And then, but what I come back with is, are you telling me a woman or a young man who was beaten as a child at 7, 8, 10 years old, that found themselves in foster care, that found themselves in jail, that found themselves back to the street at 18, 19 with no family, doesn't have PTSD?
Right.
I can't decipher that. There's no difference there. So we feed them both and we take care of them both, because everyone here in this country is our brother and sister. And, you know, I don't understand stepping over it, pretending it's not there, driving up to your mansion, saying, well, I'll just throw $10 at the shelter, which helps, but, you know, it's a Band-Aid on a gashing wound.
And if we don't start somewhere, we'll all continue to bleed. I agree with that. I know it's a big undertaking, and it sounds like it's a passion project for you. And I want people to follow you. Is this your accurate Twitter account, The Brian Krause?
The Brian Krause, yes. And on Instagram, I think I'm Brian Krause. Krause 2-1. I was late to the game, so they made me get some funny names. So
I did the same thing. I think there was like a 9-year-old in Los Angeles who had Patty Vasquez, so I had to do Patty Vasquez.
No! Yeah.
Same thing.
It's so funny.
Well, Brian, I hope you let me stop by and take a selfie with you. It would be wonderful to meet you on Saturday, because I'll be at Wizard World. I don't know what costume I've chosen yet, but I'll find something.
Oh, man, you have a few choices. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I will find something. I will definitely come by. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And if you get a chance, we'd love to have you stop by the studio sometime as well. I know you're in town all weekend, so if you want to come downtown, you know.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
We're not too far from Rosemont. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's not too
bad. Like it.
All right. Well, have a wonderful weekend. Again, Wizard World is this weekend at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to the Wizard World website for more information. And, Brian, again, we'd love to have you back anytime you'd have us. Anytime that you are available. Please, catch up with
us. Awesome. I'd love it. And
I hope
everybody comes down, and I hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Go see Leo from Charmed and so many other great projects. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN.